Greetings, and welcome to the Axtel Fourth Quarter 2020 Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Adrian De Los Santos, Chief Financial Officer for Axtel. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Melissa, and welcome everyone. Today's conference call will be hosted by Mr. Eduardo Escalante, Axtel's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Bernardo Garcia, Executive Director of Strategic Planning and Business Development, and myself. Axtel financial information, including our fourth quarter report, is available in our corporate website at axtelcorp.mx. Due to the closing of the data centers transaction in January 2020, and for comparison purposes, we might make reference to pro forma information which will adjust for the effect in revenues, costs, and expenses of these data centers records in 2019. A detailed reconciliation is included in the earnings report. Finally, let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the company. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements discussed in this call based on new information available. Now, let me turn the call over to Eduardo Escalante for his initial remarks. Eduardo, please.
Thank you, Adrian, and welcome everyone to this call, my first as Axtel CEO. Let me start by briefly commenting on the performance and strategic projects in Axtel. Last year, we placed the well-being of our employees and the continuity of our customers' operations as key priorities. We stretch our internal capabilities to assist customers with connectivity capacity, collaboration, and cybersecurity requests that overnight became critical. Regarding our organization, I share a strong empathy to all collaborators that have been affected by COVID, but I am also grateful for the commitment of the Axtel organization and the way we put to work the innovation and digitalization initiatives that we have been refining and implementing internally for years. In 2020, the impact of COVID on EBITDA and working capital was 40 and 63 million pesos respectively. At year end, 85% of our collaborators continue working remotely. Positive fourth quarter results supported our full year performance. Non-voice enterprise segment revenues in Alestra and recurrent Axtel Networks revenue posted 6 and 4% increases respectively in the fourth quarter. Government segment revenues within Alestra declined 18% year over year. However, fourth quarter revenues increased 15% on a sequential basis, reflecting some stabilization at a new normal in a complicated year after the austerity measures implemented by the federal government in April. Amid the COVID health crisis and subsequent economic recession, full-year revenues marginally declined 1% in the year, reflecting a resilient, critical portfolio of services supported by a diligent organization focused on a comprehensive digital transformation process. Axtel Networks third-party revenues increased 8% in the year, whereas Alestra non-voice enterprise segment revenues increased 5%, partially compensating sharp declines in enterprise segment voice and government revenues. In 2020, our collaborators implemented over 100 innovation initiatives that contributed close to 160 million pesos in EBITDA and CAPEX savings. In July, we share our EBITDA guidance at the same level of 2019, adjusted for the data centers transaction. A solid performance in Axtel Networks and value-added and digital transformation services to enterprise customers in Alestra, combined with efficiencies in our operations, compensated the underperformance in government and legacy services, resulting in an EBITDA 2% above our guidance and 2019 results. At the beginning of 2019, we announced the separation of Axtel's operations into two business units to participate in the growth opportunities presented by broadband and infrastructure demand, originated from streaming, social media consumption, IoT, and mobile deployments. The separation also permitted Alestra, our services unit, to shift its portfolio focus towards digital transformation and value-added services. After a detailed evaluation, we determined that an avenue to reflect the value of the new operating model could be achieved by attracting new investors, particularly for Axtel Networks. In January 2020, we started a formal competitive process with this objective, including the possibility to attract investors' interest for Axtel as a whole. In October, we decided to narrow the process to investing in the whole company only, and in December, we announced the termination of such competitive process, as valuation proposals did not reflect the intrinsic and potential value of the two business units. This year, we are resuming activities to separate the two business units into independent corporate entities. At the same time, we are establishing conversations with infrastructure-focused investors that did not participate in the last phase of the competitive process. The objective of value maximization by attracting new investors remains a priority for the company. Many of the investors with whom we are establishing conversations are familiar with our two business units. We plan to update investors on the recent performance of the business units and perspectives for the industry, with a focus on attracting interest mainly for the infrastructure business unit. Although at present times we are still living complicated days due to COVID, the vaccination progress in many parts of the world is bringing brighter perspectives for the year. In Axtel, we will remain vigilant on commercial opportunities presented to both business units, continue developing more agile, efficient, and streamlined processes through the Axtel Digital Project, and remain focused in value maximization initiatives, including the corporate separation of the business units and the potential divestment of Axtel Networks. With that, Adrián will now make some additional remarks and present a summary of the operating and financial results of the quarter.
Thank you, Eduardo. We finished the year with $157 million in cash, excluding $13 million in escrow balance, which, by the way, were released to Axtel in early January. As of December, we maintained $65 million in debt. We drew down to strengthen our liquidity, plus the $56 million from the data centers transaction we haven't used to reduce indebtedness yet. Given our perception of improved market risks, we're starting using liquidity to reduce debt this month. In the year, Axtel generated $39 million in cash flow before debt movement and excluding data centers and other capital structure transactions. Notwithstanding extended payment conditions offered to customers during the year, the quality of our accounts receivable was reflected in an extraordinary collection in the last quarter, contributing to a positive $3 million working capital for the year. At the end of the year, we maintain a position of 59 million Axtel CPOs under our share buyback program. In our upcoming annual shareholders meeting, we will propose a new amount for this year. Regarding our guidance, we estimate investments or CAPEX of $98 million. With this CAPEX and assuming a positive GDP of 3.2%, we expect revenues of 12,780 million pesos and EBITDA of 4,420 million pesos, a 3% growth over last year. I will now move on to review our financial results for the quarter and full year 2020. On a comparable basis, total revenues were down 7% year over year in the quarter. Services business unit revenues declined 7% in the quarter, explained by 3% and 18% declines in enterprise and government segment revenues, respectively. The decline in enterprise segment revenues in the quarter is explained by a 9% decline in telecom and a 31% increase in IT services revenues. Explaining the 9% decline in telecom revenues, voice revenues declined 36%, and the rest of telco services remain unchanged year over year. The relevant decline in voice revenues is explained by secular declining trend and the impact in voice volume due to remote work in many banks and corporate clients' offices. Data and internet revenues declined 4% in the quarter. Two-thirds of the decline is explained by lower revenues from dedicated data access services, and one-third due to renegotiation of a relevant internet access contract. Revenues from managed network services increased 3% in the fourth quarter, while collaboration solution revenues increased 12% in the quarter due to increased demand for this type of services after COVID. IT services revenues from enterprise customers improved 31% in the quarter, supported by a 33% increase in cloud and cybersecurity services and a 29% in revenues from system integration and digital innovation solutions. Voice revenues represented 14% of enterprise segment revenues this quarter, whereas the other 86% non-voice revenues increased 6% in the quarter. Concerning government segment, fourth quarter revenues declined 18%, as fourth quarter 2019 revenues were strong even for a pre-COVID period. In the year, telecom and IT revenues represented 48% and 52% of revenues, respectively. Within government telecom services, data, managed networks, and collaboration services represented 91% of revenues in the quarter. Voice revenues made up the other 9%. Government telecom revenues increased 1% in the quarter as a 25% increase in managed network services compensated the decline in all other telecom revenues. With respect to government IT services, fourth quarter revenues declined 30%, notwithstanding recording a 15% sequential growth due to the termination of some cloud and cybersecurity contracts. For the full year, government telecom and IT revenues were down 11% and 5% respectively. Government revenues trended up in the third and fourth quarters, reflecting our efforts in partially renewing contracts after the federal government implemented its austerity measures in late April last year. With respect to Axtel Networks, our infrastructure business unit, it recorded 1,218 million pesos in the quarter, including 614 million pesos in revenues coming from Alestra. Total revenues declined 4%, a mix of 2% increase in inter-unit revenues and down 9% in revenues from third-party customers. With respect to services provided to third parties, a decline in dark fiber capacity use contracts explained the performance. Revenues under this kind of contract are recorded upfront. Therefore, More transactions booked in the fourth quarter of 2019 explained the decline in fourth quarter 2020. For the full year, revenues from third-party customers in Axtel networks increased 8%, posting gains in all services except for spectrum leasing. Moving to our costs, cost of revenues excluding depreciation and amortization charges declined 14% on a comparable basis due to better margins in Alestra non-recurring revenues and lower costs in Axtel networks. Services unit cost of revenues declined 7% in the quarter, in line with the 7% decline in revenues. In the fourth quarter, infrastructure business unit costs declined 24%, while revenues declined 4%, explained by the substitution of lease links with own infrastructure and by an intra-business unit reclassification of certain costs in the year. Operating expenses declined 3% vis-a-vis fourth quarter 2019, explained by an 11% reduction in rent, maintenance, outsourcing, expenses, and bad debt provisions. Personal expenses increased almost 20% due to a one-time right-sizing organization provision created in the quarter. All digitalization and optimization initiatives continue translating in a more efficient, agile operation. Operating expenses in Alestra declined 10% and increased 5% in Axtel networks in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter expenses in Axtel networks is affected by a relevant debt provision benefit in the fourth quarter of 2019. Without this effect, expenses will have increased only 2%, explained by the one-time right-sizing provision just mentioned. EBITDA in the quarter totaled 1,052 million pesos, declining 5% when compared to 2019 EBITDA adjusted for the data center transaction. EBITDA for our services and infrastructure business units adjusted for the data center transactions were 512 and 540 million pesos, flat and a 10% decline respectively. CapEx in the quarter was 657 million pesos or $32 million, compared to $30 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. CapEx for the year totaled $103 million, including $22 million in spectrum frequencies renewal. As of the end of the quarter, net debt was $602 million, and the ratio of net debt to EBITDA was 3.1 times, excluding EBITDA contribution from the data center's transaction. Debt related to IFRS 16 represented $90 million at the end of the quarter. Before taking your questions, let me hand the call back to Eduardo for a brief comment, please. Eduardo.
Thanks again, Adrián. I want to take this opportunity to recognize Rolando Subirán's trajectory in Alestra and Axtel, leading to a continuous evolution in line with industry trends since 1999. Since 2016, he successfully managed the Alestra-Axtel merger and lately implemented the separation of Axtel's operating model into two business units. I wish him well on his retirement. Now, Rolando wants to share some words with you. Rolando.
Thank you, Eduardo. Thanks for your kind words. What I would like to do is to take a couple of minutes to thank you all, investors, analysts, rating agencies, bankers, and all the financial community for the interest and support you have placed in Axtel. I had the privilege to serve as Alestra's CEO since 1999 and Axtel after the Alestra-Axtel merger back in 2016. With the merger, I got the opportunity to manage a publicly traded company and started this relationship with the institutional investment community. The scrutiny on public companies is a key positive element of efficient markets. I am taking with me many experiences from this bilateral interaction with all of you. I am grateful for the opportunity of having led Alestra and Axtel for the last 22 years, participating in a continuous evolution along with the industry, complemented by acquisitions, divestments, and mergers. Throughout this time, I was blessed to be joined by a professional and resourceful management team, which remains in Axtel. I also want to mention that I have worked alongside Eduardo for many years, and I am positive that under his leadership and experience, Axtel's best years are still to come. So after 22 years, I am retiring from this great organization, this fantastic company, to spend more time with my family and eventually taking on some personal and family projects. With this, I would like to thank you all and please stay safe. Thank you. Back to you, Adrian.
Thank you, Rolando, and I wish you well as well. Now moving on to Q&A, let me just comment that Eduardo Escalante can only join us for a very few minutes. He has a very important meeting that he has to move on. So I would appreciate if we start with your questions directed to him. He might perhaps take only one, two questions. So Melissa, if you please open the call for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from the line of Alejandro Galostra with BBVA. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, good morning, Eduardo, Adrián, Rolando. My first question is related to the infrastructure business. I understand the difficult annual comparison base that you mentioned, Adrián, but I would like to better understand what is behind the sequential deceleration in the business. And if the decline in upfront payment contracts that you mentioned in the press release should be compensated in future quarters, or how should we think about the performance of this business going in 2021? And my second question is related to taxes, and I would also like to understand what is behind the large amount in taxes that you report this quarter. And the third question, if I may, is related to the percentage of your revenues that are in U.S. dollars, and also the percentage of operating expenses that are in U.S. dollars, and why you are assuming or working with an exchange rate of 21 pesos, even that most estimates point towards a strong peso throughout the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alejandro, for the questions. Let me begin by your last comment regarding the exchange rate for the year. As you know, the exchange rate has shown significant volatility since the end of last year. Well, a large part of last year, but particularly the appreciation at the end of last year and early this year. When we developed the budget and the guidance for the year, as you know, it's an extensive bottoms-up exercise. So at that time, we were forecasting 21 pesos as exchange rate for the budget for this year. We decided to maintain that just to be conservative, but certainly today, it looks like is a little high. It's still we do expect to see some volatility along 2021. For the other questions, let me turn it to Bernardo for the infrastructure business question and to Adrián for the percentage of revenues and the amount of taxes. Bernardo?
Yes. Good morning, Alejandro. Good to hear from you. The infrastructure business unit is still maintaining a strong growth path here. What Adrián was explaining is that during the year 2020, we didn't have a big one-time revenue as the one we had in the year before. So big project like that that came in the last quarter in 2019. Happened every now and then. In this year, 2020, we had big projects, but whose revenues are tied to the deployment of the projects, and so that creates a good expectation for 2021. So these big items that have one-time revenues create some, let's say, temporary distortion in the business. So you have to look at the business in more in detail to see that. For this year, we see the infrastructure business unit continuing a strong growth path, coming from the growth of fiber to the tower, basically, and long-term contracts that we signed last part of last year. So that's related to InfraCo. Adrián?
Yes, Alejandro. Regarding the items that we incur in dollars in our P&L, in Axtel, both units are considering Alestra and Axtel Networks. 12% of the revenues come in dollars, and this is an approximate, might be 11-12%, quote unquote, depending. But on average, it's about 12% of the revenues, 26% of the costs, and about 10-12% of the operating expenses. If you do the math of how these percentages affect the amounts, you come down to EBITDA neutral in peso terms, meaning that it's not affected by the exchange rate in pesos. Obviously, if the peso depreciates, whatever amount in pesos that you convert into dollars, it's a lesser amount. And about the taxes in the fourth quarter, let me explain. We have two items under the tax of 1,242 million pesos. One is the cost tax that reflects a provision of about 375 million pesos that we made in the fourth quarter. It's related to an adjustment that we think we will have to make in due to the recording of a deduction in a criterion, a fiscal criteria, whether it, we made it as a one-year deduction versus an overtime amortized item that should have been deducted over a five-year period. So that's the effect of 375 million pesos. And then we have 500 million pesos of approximately that the 12% appreciation of the peso in the fourth quarter reflected in a FX gain that we had to use NOLs or tax losses that we have. So that's a non-cash item. And also another about 300 million pesos non-cash item due to an adjustment in the fiscal value of property, plant, and equipment. That's the three main elements in the tax amount for the quarter.
Thank you, Adrian. And Bernardo, I think that you're very positive about the future performance of the infrastructure business. Could you share with us what's the growth that you expect to see this business during 2021, or at least if you expect this business to grow faster than the overall company, or in line with the growth that you just published a few minutes ago?
Yes, Alejandro. For the plan for this year, and based on what we've on the trend that we are having on the infrastructure business unit, I can tell you that we expect growth in revenues from third parties this year of 9%, and that's a signal of how well the market is receiving the new value proposition of the infrastructure business units.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for your answers.
Excellent.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everybody. My first question is for Eduardo. Please, if you could briefly talk about your vision for Axtel, and how should we think about the company's shareholder distribution policy once the infrastructure unit is divested? Thank you.
Carlos, unfortunately, as I mentioned, Eduardo had to leave the call. He had to attend a meeting, actually in person in Mexico City. I invite you to join Alfa's call later today and ask him about that. I think he will be happy to answer your question during Alfa's call.
And I appreciate that, Adrian. So if I could turn my question to you, the second one would be, if you could talk about the breakdown by business unit in your top line, in the guided top line, and particularly in CapEx, especially it seems a little high compared to what I understand was your previous comments. I mean, obviously, 2020, you have the spectrum renewal. But what is the driver between the growth that you were expecting for 2021? Thank you.
Yes. You're right. The CapEx in the fourth quarter was a bit higher than what we were looking, or in reference to previous quarters. We had some projects in the fourth quarter that will contribute to the 2021 business plan, some projects with the financial institutions, some projects particular with an operator for our infrastructure unit that we invested in the fourth quarter, but the benefits will come in 2021. Also, we had about a $4 million investment related to the separation, the phase that we're moving in 2021 regarding the two business units. So that was part of the CapEx that we recorded in the fourth quarter. So that's why it was a bit higher than the CapEx we had in the two previous quarters. Lastly, fourth quarter CapEx is usually higher on a seasonal basis. If you look at previous years, fourth quarters tend to be a bit higher than what first, second, and third quarters of every other year.
No, I mean, that's helpful. Thank you. But my question was more aimed at 2021. You're guiding $98 million at a 21 exchange rate. And if I recall correctly, you were talking about for 2020 or a normalized basis, including the spectrum, something between 80 to 90 million. So I just want to know where that increase would be coming from.
Yes, the 2021 CapEx, you have to bear in mind that we're looking for recovery in the services unit. So we are assuming that the corporate client portfolio will be more active. As you know, the 2020 year was not the best in terms of investments in the corporate banking sectors, for example. So we're assuming a significant pickup in the enterprise segment. We continue planning on projects on Axtel networks, that's basically what's included in our CapEx. We're increasing revenues in our guidance in 2021. In last year, revenues declined. So it's a bit related to a more optimistic view with respect to the economy and therefore the performance of our customers.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, I just want to take a minute to thank Rolando for all of his work during these years, and just it's been a pleasure to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to join the question queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Martin Lara with Miranda Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thank you for the call. I only have one question on the infrastructure business. When do you expect to sell it? This year or maybe next year?
Hi, Martin. Good morning. This is Bernardo. In this type of process, it's very difficult to anticipate the exact timing for that. What I can tell you is that we are dedicated to do it, and as soon as we get to the right conditions that are suitable for our shareholders, I'm sure there will be a transaction, but it's very difficult to anticipate the timing, Martin.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jacob Steinfeld with Ashmore. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Your guidance for, I guess, EBITDA and CapEx imply, almost a 20% improvement in 21. I was curious, where do you expect your ultimate free cash flow to be in 21, and then how do you expect to allocate that?
Hi, Jacob. We expect cash flow before debt and capital structure transactions for 2021 slightly below $50 million. If the exchange rate remains, as Eduardo mentioned, somewhere between 20 to 21 pesos, or in 21 pesos as our budget, that will come from EBITDA, a slightly neutral working capital for the year, the CapEx and the improved interest expenses as we are reducing debt from the incremental debt that we took due to the uncertain conditions last year, and the allocation of the remaining balance of the data centers transactions that we are using to reduce our senior notes in March. We continue looking to reduce our net debt ratio to our 2.5 times objective. That remains a strong objective in Axtel, that's what we have in the plans right now.
Okay, Adrian, sorry, I didn't. You said 50 million or 15?
No, 50. Yeah, last year was $39 million, and 2021, our plan for it is to be slightly below 50 million, somewhere between 45 to 48 million dollars.
Okay, got it. So that will be used for net debt reduction.
That's correct. That's the objective at this moment.
Okay, and my last question is, I don't know if you, in your EBITDA guidance, I don't know, can you provide how you see the mix between Alestra services and networks?
Yes, it will remain very similar to what it is today, about 55% Axtel networks and about 45% Alestra, the services unit. As we continue moving and progressing on the separation and so on, as we did in the fourth quarter, we continue fine-tuning certain operating expenses into the each business unit. We continue drilling down on that, so that's why we think we will remain about 10 percentages as in last year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our question and answer session. I'll turn the floor back to Mr. De Los Santos for any final comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our call. Again, wishing well and all the best for Rolando. And as you know, you can always find us in Axtel's Investor Relations Department. Thank you, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.